I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Sound check, 1, 2, 3. Okay, what's your name?
Alex Delesco.
My colleague Nicole McNulty is getting set up with Alex, who's about to read from a script we've put together.
And what do you do for a living?
I'm a professional actor here in London. I am originally from Romania.
Can you read that top line?
We talked in his car in front of the building. He explained to... I flubbed that. Let me try again. We talked in his car in front of the building. He explained to me who he is. He showed me a list of weapons and ammunition on his phone. Then he sent me that list to my phone.
Alex is reading lines of court testimony given by a guy named Christian Ventilla. So, in this episode, and future ones, Alex will be the voice of Christian. Everything you'll hear comes verbatim from Christian's testimony in court. The words are all Christian's. After the arms deal goes sideways, and Christian turns against Flavio.
Okay, I'm ready to start.
Christian wanted nothing to do with me or this show. Here's what he told me in an email.
I don't care about what Flavio said or did. There are a lot of lies and fakes.
I'm Trevor Aronson. From Western Sound and iHeart Podcasts, this is Alphabet Boys. Episode 7. Let's make this happen, bro. Before we get going with this episode, I want to give you a quick recap, because the story of Flavio, Juan, and the supposed arms deal can get a little confusing. Back in 2012, Juan asked Flavio's friend Andy if he knows a guy who can help put together an arms deal for the FARC. Andy says he has someone who can make stuff happen. So Andy calls Flavio. Andy asks him if he can put together an arms deal for these Colombians. Flavio says, yeah, maybe. Immediately after hanging up with Andy, Flavio calls the CIA. 2 years pass, and in 2014, Flavio stands up Juan in Rome. But, he says, he can still make a deal happen. Flavio puts Juan in touch with a guy named Gintautis, the arms dealer who smells a rat. What I haven't told you is how Gintautis got on Flavio's radar. And that connection was through this guy, Christian Ventilla.
I was General Secretary of the State Reserves and then General Director with the Ministry of Internal Affairs.
By the time Flavio meets him, Christian Ventilla is a divorced father of two and a high-ranking government minister in Romania. He heads an agency that coordinates between the Romanian government and the NATO alliance, based in Brussels.
As part of my job, I was registered as a weapon control for NATO in Brussels, and for this reason, I was trained in different missions.
Christian grew up in Bacău, a city of about 200,000 people northeast of Bucharest, the capital. After obtaining a doctorate in project management, Christian became a government official, thanks to his association with a Romanian politician surrounded by accusations of corruption. Anyway, now I'm going to put Christian into this whole timeline. After Flavio decides to get involved in the arms deal, he starts hunting around for people who could connect him with arms dealers. And that's when a mutual contact connected Flavio with Christian.
He introduced Flavio Georgescu as a Romanian-American businessman who had an order for weapons and ammunition.
This is the first time Flavio and Christian meet. Flavio drives to Christian's apartment building in Bucharest. Christian comes out front.
We talked in his car in front of the building. He explained to me who he is. He showed me a list of weapons and ammunition on his phone. Then he sent me that list to my phone. He told me that he's very interested, that it is a serious order, and to reassure me, he called on the phone Andy Georgescu and put him on the speaker because he speaks Romanian also.
According to Christian, and this conversation in Flavio's car isn't recorded, Andy, speaking in Romanian, tells Christian and Flavio about Juan.
The order is coming from some old customers of his, and it is a very serious order, and he's going to get implicated by managing the financial side of this order.
In the car, Christian tells Andy that based on the weapons on Juan's list, including AK-47s and anti-aircraft weapons, he believes he can line up a manufacturer to fill the order.
I suggested that they should get in touch directly, Gintautos, with the Colombians. He knew the products and he knew what he can offer and what not.
As you may remember, Flavio connects Juan with Gintautis. Gintautis pretty quickly and correctly suspects that Juan is a government agent. Gintautis sends an angry email with a link to a news article about a successful DEA sting in Prague involving informants who claim to be buying weapons for the FARC. That email gets to Christian, who confronts Flavio.
I talked to Georgescu about this thing, telling him about the Czech article and explaining to him that Gintautis is suspecting that it's the same kind of sting.
He said, let me tell you something. And he pulled up a paper. He showed a sting operation from Czech Republic, from Prague, with same Juan, and everybody said, it's impossible. It's the same template, same thing.
For Christian, this must have been an enormous red flag. But Flavio, in his Flavio way, assures Christian that there's no reason for concern.
I said, man, just trust me. This is just a coincidence.
He knows the Colombians and he previously did business with them. And I shouldn't worry about it.
Flavio needs to keep Christian in the business deal to supposedly gather information for the CIA. But, and I have to admit, this is bizarre, given what happens later. Flavio also suspects that Juan could be with the DEA.
So what? I didn't care about what's going on over here in this side. I was caring what I find in this side using Juan right now, the goofy clown.
As far as Flavio is concerned, so what? That just means he and Juan are both friends of America.
And I said, you know what? If we don't die, at least on the end, we're going to have something. I didn't care anymore. I was going too far. I was so excited and so proud. And still, I have so many things and I can do so much. That means I'm going to keep going. And yeah.
Here we arrive at yet another problem in Flavio's story. Flavio received these warnings that Juan could be a U.S. government agent. The DEA had been so aggressive in its transnational narco-terrorism stings that the targets of other stings were figuring out the DEA's game from news reports. Yet Flavio doesn't back out of the deal. And he doesn't contact the CIA to report the DEA's possible involvement. He just continues, knowing that it's possible, maybe even likely, that he and Juan are playing for the same team. Juan just doesn't know it yet. So if Flavio can build a case, even with Juan mixed up in it, no big deal. The DEA and CIA would sort everything out in the end. So Flavio keeps his suspicions to himself. He tells Christian, don't worry about it. He knows Juan. He's done business with Juan. Even though that isn't true. Flavio's never even met Juan at this point.
How are you?
Good. Yeah. I'm enjoying
it. Good. I was just at the beach. I just got back. Anyway.
And at the same time, Flavio assures Juan that they don't need this Quintaudis guy anyway.
I still coming on the 22nd. And I think we all need to meet and see if we can come up with a plan, either with this gentleman or maybe you can help me to solve, you know, that. Do you talk to him?
I am already looking for different solution.
By looking for a different solution, Flavio means he and Christian are going to find someone else.
Let's do this, bro. We need to make it. We need to talk so that you won't get no talk to my other Colombian Mexican fellows, but they need to know that I made you and you're going to tell me what the plans are you're looking for. I'm going to tell them. I'm going to keep everybody happy and all the doors open. Otherwise, we're going to lose this all together. That's the bottom line. Please, Flavio, let's make this happen, bro.
Please, Flavio. Let's make this happen, bro. More after the break.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My friends, okay, the company I'm representing, tell me they allocated some money for the purpose of doing that transaction whenever we get ready. So I just wanted to let you know that.
It's July 2014. Juan is saying that his FARC friends have moved millions of dollars into European bank accounts. The money has been earmarked for purchasing the weapons that Flavio will help deliver. But at this point, there's a lot of skepticism and distrust among everyone involved. Juan's already been stood up in Rome. And since then, Flavio has asked Juan to come to Romania so that they can meet for the first time. And so that Juan can meet Christian Ventilla. But Juan hasn't yet committed to that.
Yeah. You said that you were my friend. What happened?
In August 2014, Juan calls Andy in Los Angeles. And Andy, in no uncertain terms, tells him the Romanians aren't happy.
Yeah, call Flavio, man. I got the whole fucking government on my ass.
I don't understand. Say it again?
Call Flavio ASAP. I got the whole fucking Romanian government on my ass right now because they think I'm bullshitting.
What Andy is saying here is that with Juan refusing to go to Romania, the Romanian government has been coming down on him. It's not really that the Romanian government is coming down on him. He's referring to Christian, who is a government minister in Romania.
It's really bad. Call him back, please.
You guys didn't show up.
Juan's referring to Rome when he got stood up.
No, he called you to go down there. Those guys wanted to meet down there. I cannot, you know, push him around because there's no point in fucking pushing him around. It's got to be done, you know, at a certain point, certain time. I mean, the guys are thinking they're bullshitting. I mean, he's down all over my ass.
The next day, Juan calls Flavio.
Hello.
Hello, Flavio.
How are you doing?
Hey, Andy asked me to give you a call. What's up?
I find a fellow.
You find a fellow? Is that what you said?
Yeah, I find a seller. And if you want to
A seller.
Come to Romania.
I'm sorry?
I find a seller and if you want to talk, can you come to Romania?
Be aware that already twice I have come to Europe and I've been unable to accomplish anything. So if I do come, you need to guarantee me because otherwise it's going to be three times I don't looking good. I'm spending money. I don't want any problems with no one. If I go there, make sure that you know these people and I'm going to be safe. Please.
Yeah. No problem.
All right. When I come, you must have prices for the items that I requested, that my customer is requesting, okay? And if they do have it on hand, I need to know how long it will take them to deliver.
Juan, having been frustrated by Flavio over and over again, is reading him the riot act here. This is your last chance. If we're going to meet in person, you better have prices for weapons and a clear timeline for delivery. Don't worry, Flavio tells Juan. He's got everything under control. So Juan, who's secretly under pressure from his bosses at the DEA to make something of this languishing investigation, flies to Romania. He's accompanied by another DEA informant. On September 23rd, 2014, Juan calls Flavio from Bucharest.
Here I am, I'm in your town, here I am to dock.
Okay, which hotel you are?
I'm at the Marriott Hotel.
Marriott?
They decide to meet at the Marriott for dinner that evening. Juan starts his recording device.
The local time is 8:35 p.m. We are right now in what's it down?
Bucharest, the other informant whispers to Juan.
Bucharest, Romania.
Equipment will be running until we get there.
The equipment is going to be on until we get there. Juan says. The other informant stays behind in the hotel room while Juan heads to the restaurant. Juan puts the recorder in a pocket, and the tape gets noisy. This walk Juan is making from his room to the hotel restaurant is 2 years in the making. All those phone calls have led to this. Flavio and Juan finally meet at the Marriott in Romania.
It took a long time to meet you.
Yeah.
How are you?
Good.
Good. Thank you for coming. How you been?
Welcome to Romania.
Welcome to Romania, Flavio tells Juan. Flavio gives Juan a gift, a souvenir with the Romanian flag on it. And Juan hands Flavio a bag of coffee.
Colombian coffee.
Oh.
Juan Valdez.
Yeah. Thank you. Give it to my
wife. How are you?
Flavio laughs, but it's clear that as someone who grew up in communist Romania, he doesn't really get Juan's joke. Juan Valdez was a fictional Colombian coffee bean grower in American TV commercials from the 70s and 80s. Anyway, Flavio and Juan sit down at a table in the restaurant and get down to this military-grade weapons business.
You have your own plan. I have my own agendas, yeah. And we need to match so it works. If we don't match it, it won't work.
Flavio tells Juan that he can get the weapons. Juan suggests that they meet tomorrow in a private conference room. Flavio should bring Christian, and Juan will bring his FARC colleague.
But I get a room.
Yeah.
Okay, this is important. The fellow that is coming, his sole purpose of being here is to talk about weapons because he knows about weapons. The people knows what they're talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
This FARC guy, Juan says, he's not like him. He doesn't make jokes. He's a no-nonsense guy. He's an operative from the jungle.
Yeah. Okay, he's from the jungle.
Yeah.
Okay, ex-military guy.
Yeah.
The other people never went to school. All they have is they sell freaking cocaine, they make money, they think they're the kings.
Yeah.
And they want to tell you what to do.
Yeah, exactly.
So that you know. So please bear with me and help me out if we come to that point. So that you know. I need to explain to you everything when we're alone. Because I want this to happen. I want this to go through.
Juan also makes clear that he and his colleague need weapons to protect FARC's cocaine interests and to attack American helicopters in Colombia.
But they want to buy weapons because they want to fight to protect the drug industry, and they want to bring down the American helicopters because they're the enemies. You understand
exactly,
that?
Yeah.
Juan is being explicit about this for a very specific reason. It's critical to the government's narco-terrorism case. Flavio needs to know that these weapons he's helping Juan obtain, they're going to FARC rebels who fund their violence through drug sales.
You're kidding me.
Finally, Juan appears to be happy with Flavio. He appears to believe that this deal can happen. And he again explains that his FARC guys are tough, but paranoid.
And I'm happy now that I came here. Me, I can't come. I'm just a simple man. These other guys are the ones that carry a big bag behind them. You know what I mean? I convinced them to come. But the situations, people can, this guy is going to rob you, this guy this, because I said, no.
It's not the case.
No, I understand that, I'm saying what they're telling me.
To celebrate, Flavio and Juan order Jägermeisters to toast. Juan has never had one.
Jägermeister.
Jägermeister. Yes. It's a green.
After drinks, Flavio and Juan agree to meet at the hotel the next day. And they'll have two more people with them. Flavio's contact, Christian Ventilla, and Juan's colleague from the jungle. That's after the break.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh, my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And, of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to fight back against crime? Hi, guys. Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies, personally investigating, prosecuting, and covering literally thousands of cases. It's so easy to think it will never happen to me or my family, but that is simply not true. Every day on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, we shine a light on unsolved homicides, heat up cold cases, and help find missing people, especially children. We speak with family members, investigators, CSI, reporters, and experts in every field. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Again, just like the day before when Juan started his recorder, Juan can't remember where he is.
Today's day is September 24th, 2014. Local time in Bulgaria is 8:27 p.m.
Bucharest,
Bulgaria.
Bucharest, the other DEA informant says. Juan says, Bucharest, Bulgaria. He's in Romania.
We are about to go to meet with Flavio and his friends at the main lobby of the Hotel Marriott. Bring him to the conference room to have a meeting with them. Romania.
It's okay.
Juan and his DEA informant friend head downstairs to the hotel lobby. They're waiting for Flavio and Christian.
He called me in the afternoon of September 24th.
This is Christian Vintilla. Remember, Christian is being voiced by an actor. He's saying that Flavio called him.
And he told me that the Colombians came to Bucharest unexpected and they want to meet him and they want to meet him right away. And because he wouldn't know much about this field, he asked me to participate at the meeting with him. And he explained to me that they have a lot of money and he wanted to impress them because he's willing to do business in the future with them. And he told me to try to do my best presentation so we can catch them as clients.
I bring Christian because I didn't feel comfortable that time.
And this is Flavio.
And I said, I have to be prepared. And I took Christian as an advisor to talk, to see what's going on.
So Flavio and Christian head to the Marriott in Bucharest. Christian brings with him some catalogs from Romanian arms manufacturers. But before Flavio and Christian meet Juan and his colleague in the lobby, they dip into the hotel's restaurant. Flavio tells Christian to hand him his phone.
Georgescu took my phone and his own and gave it to the waitress, telling her to put it in a separate room.
Why the hell does Flavio do that? The only plausible reason that Flavio would ditch their phones is to prevent a government spy agency from listening to their arms deal meeting. A little over a year earlier, in June 2013, whistleblower Edward Snowden leaked thousands of classified documents about the extent of global surveillance conducted by the NSA, the National Security Agency. So these ideas about the government listening in via your phone are very much in the air at the time as this meeting is happening. But who is Flavio afraid will hear? The CIA, which apparently he's working for? Or the Romanian government, which Christian works for? Or both? Besides, if Flavio suspects Juan might be working for the DEA, why would he care about a spy agency listening in on their phones when Juan is likely recording the conversation anyway? And yeah, of course Juan's recording this meeting.
How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Juan is speaking to Christian for the first time. That's Christian's real voice. They're all inside a conference room at the hotel.
You speak Spanish?
No.
No. English, but not very good. Spanish, but no English.
Spanish, but no English, Juan says of his colleague, whose name is Diego. Diego doesn't speak English, or at least he's pretending not to speak English. I just want to point out how absurd this meeting at the Bucharest Marriott is. Juan, or Alex Diaz, the DEA informant, is with another DEA guy who's pretending to be a Colombian FARC rebel, the so-called Diego. This Diego guy isn't subtle about his supposed revolutionary work. He's giving off some solid Che Guevara vibes. Meanwhile, Flavio is, in his mind, a CIA asset. So he's performing his own role. The only one without a hidden agenda in all this is Christian.
I was supposed to explain to them the weapons and how they work.
It's all theater, with each side playing a part for the other. Anyway, here's Diego, with Juan translating.
Primero que todo, yo quiero darle las gracias en nombre mío, de mi camarada.
He wants to thank you for coming here.
Diego gets right down to business.
Are you familiar with the FARC?
Yeah.
Organización?
De el Ejército del Pueblo.
The Army of the People.
Eso somos.
Partido Popolo y Organización Popolo.
Somos un país que tenemos 60 años luchando. 60 años.
We are a country fighting this cause for 60 years.
Mi vida es mi país.
His life is his country.
My life is my country, Diego tells Flavio and Christian, as if borrowing from a list of cliches for revolutionaries. Diego then begins to explain to Flavio and Christian why his organization needs these weapons.
En este momento tenemos un gran problema.
At this moment we have a big problem.
Y es que el gobierno norteamericano
ingresó
con helicópteros Black Hawk.
Attack helicopters.
Diego says U.S. government attack helicopters now being used in Colombia have tipped the balance of the conflict. The FARC only has assault rifles, making them largely defenseless against the choppers.
Okay. It's off balance. Está fuera de balance.
Sí. A raíz de esto, el gobierno nos ha tomado ventaja.
Because of that, the government has gotten ahead of us.
Yo lo que necesito es armamento antiaéreo para poder defenderme de los helicópteros y de los aviones norteamericanos. Eso necesito.
All he needs is weapons to fight the air fight against the airplanes of the Americans.
Los americanos se burlan de nosotros.
The Americans laugh at us.
Lo que queremos nosotros
es... To fight the air fight, we can use. He says that if we fight and we destroy two or three of the helicopters and we kill two or three people, they're going to think twice before they keep on doing this.
¿Con qué tiene usted que nos pueda ayudar para defendernos?
What do you have that might help us defend ourselves?
Recuerde.
Apart from the list.
Christian pulls out a weapons catalog. These are the type of weapons they can obtain. Diego flips through the pages and then taps his finger down repeatedly on one item.
La que yo digo, esta es la que yo quiero.
This is what he's talking about.
Se lo dije.
Diego is interested in something called a ZU-23, an anti-aircraft cannon that mounts to a small, two-wheeled trailer. The cannon, designed by the Soviet Union in the 1950s, is so effective and adaptable that it's still in use around the world today, 70 years later.
Es perfecto.
But Diego says they're not picky. It doesn't have to be the ZU-23. They just need a weapon system that can take down American helicopters.
The idea is that whatever you give us, that we can shoot these helicopters down.
Sacarlos de mi país.
Take it out of their country.
A todos.
But any arms deal for an anti-aircraft system has a big obstacle, the end user certificate. To buy and ship the weapons, Christian tells Juan and Diego that they need that document.
You want to get it and then you pass it.
The big problem is end user.
Ask him, what do you think about, not rush, take your time, but what's the length of time it will take him to get the end user certificate?
Few months.
Flavio explains that he and Christian need some time to obtain the document. And once they have it, everyone should meet again, in person, to finalize the weapons order.
The problem is not the merchandise. The problem is the end user. As soon as he finds the end user,
yo lo entiendo.
No, he understands.
Next day business.
Al día siguiente, tomo listo.
Okay.
The four men then get up from the table.
Okay. Muchas gracias. Es un placer. Créeme.
Es un placer. Gracias.
The deal is finally coming together for everyone, or so it seems. Juan is gathering evidence for the DEA, and Flavio believes he's gathering information for the CIA, including information about Christian Ventilla and Christian's network of arms suppliers.
Myself, I have the feeling just to put everything on the table and what you do as a government, that one is not my business, because I know behind the curtains, it's a different story than not what you see on TV or what you hear in the radio. But myself, I did the job. I did my part.
And Flavio has one more contact he's hoping to deliver. A guy who can help them get that end user certificate. He's someone well known in Europe. Someone with connections. Someone accustomed to navigating the halls of power. He's a politician, a flamboyant former member of the Italian Parliament.
Cari amici, buongiorno. Oggi è il 13 novembre 2020.
His name is Massimo Romagnoli. That's in the next episode. This is Up in Arms, Season 2 of Alphabet Boys. Alphabet Boys is a production of Western Sound and iHeart Podcasts. The show is reported, written, and hosted by me, Trevor Aronson. For more information about this series, or to drop us a tip, head to our website, alphabetboys.xyz. You can contact me on Twitter or Instagram at Trevor Aronson. The show's Instagram is alphabetboys.pod. If you're enjoying Alphabet Boys, tell your friends about the show. Personal recommendations are the best recommendations. And if you want to see an illegal arms deal from the inside, again, it's alphabetboys.xyz. You'll find undercover recordings and documents related to Flavio's case. Finally, you can help us ride the algorithms by leaving a rating or review on your favorite podcast app. That helps other people find us. And thanks for listening.
On I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.